You be you, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Pastor. Well, good morning, church. We're serving a mighty God. We're serving a powerful God. We are serving a mighty, powerful God. And guess what? He's in this house today. Can somebody shout amen?
Amen.
Let's try it again. Amen. I did what you look good today. Tell somebody, say, except for you. Hallelujah. Just kidding. But turn to somebody and say, he's talking about me today. Come on now.
He's talking about me.
Oh, God is good. God is good. God is good. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad the Lord is with us? He's here. Come on, say that. He's here. Say it again like you believe it. He's here. And because he is here, whatever you need, he is. Whatever you need, he has. And whatever you need, he can do. He is in this house today. Amen, amen. Well, church, I love you. I honor you. I bless you. But especially our pastors. How do you love and appreciate our pastors? Come on, shout amen. Oh, God is good. God is good all the time. Yes. Do you really love him? Come on, shout amen. If you love him, take him out to dinner next week. Buy him a new outfit. Give him a raise. Is that all you said? I forgot. Oh, but God is good. God is good. And his mercy endureth forever and forever and forever. I don't know about you, but 2025 for me was a good year. It was a great year. It was a glorious year. I went all over the place from coast to coast with the Holy Ghost. Come on now. I'm talking about I was in Slapout, Alabama.
Slapout.
I was in Las Vegas, Nevada. I was in Cheesy Creek, West Virginia. I was in Honolulu, Hawaii. I was in Ireland. I promise, I was not chasing leprechauns. I was after souls.
Amen.
But this year, oh, guess what? It's been great. But I believe with all my heart that next year, 2026, is going to be a great year. If you're ready, come on, shout, I'm ready. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, I'm ready to preach. Well, how many have your Bibles with you this morning? Why don't you just hold them up high and torment the devil? Come on now. And say this with me, please. Say, I'm a warrior for the Lord. With my two-edged sword. I'm armed and dangerous. With the word of God. Now, church, I want you to take it and just shake it in the devil's face. No, I said in his face. Ooh. No wonder some of you got problems, honey. He's to be under our feet. Amen. Well, God is good. God is good. Well, if you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, would you turn with me, please, to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel. That's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Ezekiel, chapter 12. Oh, God is good. I feel a frisky spirit coming on this morning. Hallelujah. Woo. Now, Ezekiel chapter 12, I'll make mention of the verse in just a moment. But before I make mention of the verse, let me ask you this question. Has anybody here other than me ever received a right now, right on, rainbow word from God? I mean, God spoke to you, maybe through a prophetic utterance over your life. Maybe a man of God, a woman of God spoke over you prophetically. Or maybe in your time of seeking God, in your time of devotion, God spoke to you, gave you a word, gave you a promise. When that word came to you, when that promise came to you, you knew that you knew that you knew. It was God, you believed that word. You receive that word in your life. But then the days begin to go by. The weeks begin to go by. The months begin to go by. Even some of the years begin to go by. And you don't see the completion of that word yet. You don't see the fulfillment of that word. You don't see the manifestation of that word. But I've got a word for you. It's not over yet. Come on now. I like to put it like this. It's not over till the fat angel sings. Amen. You better get ready, because soon and very soon your expectations are going to become your manifestations. But here in Ezekiel chapter 12, the people of God were saying to the prophet Ezekiel, you've been saying this. You've been saying this. You've been declaring that you've had certain dreams from the Almighty. You've had visions from the Most High God. But it's not come to pass. Ezekiel, it's not going to happen. It's not going to take place. It's not going to come to pass. But what did God have to say about the matter? Notice, please, Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 28. Therefore say unto them, that's you. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore. In the original Hebrew, it reads like this, all delay has ended. I will do it now. I like that. For thus saith the Lord, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore. But the word which I've spoken, it shall be done, saith the Lord. I want to minister for just a few moments along these lines. God said it, that settles it. God said it, that settles it. Come on, say that, please. God said it, that settles it. Father God, we thank you for your word. Your word is life-giving. Your word is life-changing. Father, I believe today, because of your holy word, we will never, ever be the same again. Father, we thank you that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I believe today your word, your holy seed, will fall upon good ground, and for your glory it will bring forth much fruit. We thank you now. We bless you. And all of God's people said together, amen. Let's say it again. You better say it again. Amen. God said it. That settles it. I've heard many people there say this. Well, you know, God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. No, no, no. God said it. And that settles it, whether you believe it or not. Amen. But I choose to believe what thus saith the Lord. If God said it, you can mark it down. You can take it to the bank. It's a done deal. God said it, and that settles it. Hell may come against you on every side, but my friend, it's going to happen, because God's word is true. God's word is pure. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never, never, never pass away. Now God will give you a word. God will give you a promise, and hell will come against you on every side. Look at Joseph, for example, the one that wore the coat of many colors. He was the dreamer. Now what was God saying to the dreams? That he'd be in a high position of authority. But what happened? Hell began to come against Joseph. He was thrown into the pit. From there to Potiphar's house. From there to the prison. But guess what? It was not over, because what happened? God said it, and that settles it. And he became one of the leaders in all of Egypt. What about David? David had a word from Almighty God to the prophet. The prophet Samuel said, you'll rule and reign upon the throne of Israel. You think it was over? No, all hell came against David. I'm talking about Saul threw spears at him, trying to kill him. Men sought him to kill him, bring him back dead or alive. But you see, God's word is true. And if God has given you a word, mark it down. It will come to pass. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. What has God promised you? What has God spoken to you? It will come to pass. And before God will fail to keep his promise, he will put the angels on half ration. He'll pry the streets of gold. He'll put the pearly gates in a pawn shop. Come on now. God will keep his word. Why? Because God said it. And what happens? And that settles it. Now, Pastor Ken has been speaking. God has given you a word. God has given you promises. There's been prophetic utterances over you in this great church. And you've not seen all the things come to pass yet. But I'll shout it one more time. It's not over. Hallelujah. Because you can count on God. I said, you can count on God. God said it, and that settles it. Come on, shout. That settles it. Now, a number of years ago, my wife, myself, and my baby girl, just the three of us, here we were in L.A. That's Lower Alabama. Now, the three of us, we were in a very small motel room, in a very small motel, in a very small South Alabama town, sound asleep, enjoying the rest of the Lord. And all of a sudden, the Lord woke me up. And when I woke up, guess what? I looked across the room there in the motel. I saw the digital clock. It was exactly 4 o'clock in the morning. I said, Lord, go wake up Brother Ken. Come on out. Now, when it's 4 o'clock, between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., that's known as the fourth watch of the night. And many times when the world is quiet around you, God will begin to talk to you, begin to speak to you. But at 4 o'clock in the morning, I said, what is it, Lord? And all of a sudden, I heard the Lord begin to speak to me. 4 o'clock in the morning. He said, son, I said, yes, Lord. He said, son, when Jamil, that was my dear wife. He said, when Jamil wakes up, tell her she's pregnant and is going to be a boy. Well, guess what? That woke me up. Come on out. And I got out of bed. I was so happy. We were believing God for another child. He said, son, tell her she's pregnant and it's going to be a boy. Woo! I mean, God gave her that word. God gave her that promise that a baby boy is on the way. And guess what I began to do? I got out of bed and I started praising God. Woo! Hallelujah. I started getting happy. Thank you, Lord. My baby boy's on the way. Oh, thank you, Lord. I was getting so happy. He said, tell her she's pregnant and it's going to be a boy. Woo! I looked at her, my wife. She was sound asleep. I looked at her. She had a flat belly and all. And I said, but Lord, she doesn't look pregnant. She doesn't sound pregnant. She doesn't act pregnant. He says, son, but it does not matter what it may look like, sound like, I feel it. What matters is what I have to say. And my friend Marketo, God said it, and that settles it. And so I kept on praising God. I kept on praising God. Oh, thank you, Lord. I looked over again, and this time she was sitting up in bed. I stopped her and I looked at her. She said, Johnson, what are you doing? I said, are you awake? She said, duh. I said, are you awake? She said, that is a stupid question. What does it look like? I said, I've got to find out for sure if you're awake. She said, I'm awake. What are you talking about? I said, because the Lord told me to tell you when you wake up, go ahead with it and say, trust me, I'm awake. I said, Lord, I'm going to tell you, you're pregnant and it's going to be a boy. Well, guess what? That woke her up. Come on. I mean, she got out of bed and she got right in my face, Pastor. And she said to me, she said, I am not pregnant. I said, yes, you are. She said, I am not pregnant. I said, yes, you are. She said, I would know the symptoms of pregnancy better than you. I'm not pregnant. I said, yes, you are. She said, I will say to thee that I am not with child. Well, she got all King James of me. So I decided to get King James right back at her. Yes, now thou wouldst say that thou art now a child, but the great God Jehovah has spoken to me, his servant, to boldly declare and decree unto thee his handmaid, thou art great but child, yea, and it's going to be a man child. She said, what? I said, baby, you know me. I know you, but I think you missed God because I would never tell her, God said. Unless I knew. I feel stirred, I feel prompted. I feel, you know, whatever. But I don't take that lightly. I said, but God said to me, God spoke to me, you're praying. She said, no, you're not. She said, baby, I love you, but you missed God this time. I said, you're praying. She said, no. We got home about a week later from off the road traveling. And we pulled in the driveway, and I lived in Salem, an hour from here. As you may know, Melchizedek used to be the priest of Salem. Is that right? Today, I am. Hallelujah. We got back home, you know, from off the road. We pulled the driveway. And my wife said, she said, I'll be back in a little while. I said, where are you going? Well, I've got a few errands. I've got to run personally. Things I got to do. I'll take care of it. Okay. Well, she comes back about 2 hours later with the biggest smile upon her face. Now, where was she? The doctor. She called ahead of time, set up a bump. And when she walked in the house with that big old smile, she said, well, what's his name going to be? Come on out. And we were so excited. We were waiting, expecting. Hallelujah. Woo! Guess what, church? When you're expecting something, you make preparation for it. Is that right? And we were so happy because what happened? God said. She looked the same. She acted the same. Come on now. But guess what? God said it. And what happens? God said it, and that settles it. And so we were excited because our baby boy was on the way. Come on. Hallelujah. I'm talking about I was getting so pumped up, and the days began to go by. The weeks began to go by, and finally I was by myself over in Atlanta, Georgia. Here was in Atlanta, Georgia, sound asleep, enjoying the rest of the Lord. And all of a sudden the Lord woke me up. Guess what time it was? 4:00 in the morning. I said, Lord, give me a break. Come on now. Now, normally, church, I'm an early riser. Anyhow, I am. Normally, I'm an early riser. 3:00 comes early every morning. It does. I don't get up at 3, but 3:00 does come early. Come on now. But I looked again this time. It was 4:00 in the morning. And I knew something was there. I said, was it, Lord? What is it, Lord? I mean, here it was at 4:00 in the morning. I said, what is it, Lord? And he wasn't speaking in my heart. I said, what is it, Lord? But I felt that unction to pray. I felt that stirring in my heart to get up and pray, so I got out of bed. Now, I've learned over the years, now, to get out of bed, don't lay back in bed, because by 4 or 5, you'll be snoring in the spirit. Come on now. And so I got out of bed. I felt that burden to pray for the man. You liked that, didn't you? I felt that burden to pray, and here was up 4:00, and I got out of bed, and I said, Lord, bless my wife and bless my daughter. And I was in ministry there in Atlanta. I said, Father, just bless the services here. And I began to talk about different things, but I was getting no peace to continue in that vein alone. I said, Lord, what is it? What is it, Lord? What is it, Lord? And I just dropped down on my knees. I said, Lord, I don't know what to pray about, but Lord, you said in your word in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, I'll paraphrase it. When you don't know how to pray, when you don't know what to pray for, you can always pray in the Holy Spirit. That beautiful heavenly language and other tongues. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to pray about. I said, Holy Spirit, you know what the situation is. You know. And I dropped down on my knees and I began to pray in the Spirit. I must have prayed for about 30, 40 minutes nonstop in the Holy Spirit. And I started to get up and I felt that burden again to pray. I dropped back on my knees again. I began to pray. I tried to get up several times, but the Lord says, keep on. And I continued to pray. I prayed for about 4.5 hours nonstop. And then all of a sudden I said, Lord, he says, son. I said, yes, Lord. He says, son, everything is going to be all right. I said, what? He said, everything is going to be all right. I've got a word for you today, church. Doesn't matter what you're facing. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Guess what? Everything is going to be all right. He spoke to me so clearly. He said, son, everything is going to be all right. And God is my witness. The very split second he spoke that to me, the telephone began to ring. I picked up that telephone. This is before cell phones. Remember those days? I picked up the telephone. And did you know what I said? Hello? Y'all do that here in Lynchburg, don't you? I said, hello, hello, hello. And as my wife was on the phone, and I could hear the hurt, the pain, the fear in her voice. She was shaking up, tear, crying. We, oh, God, no. I said, what is it, baby? What is it? Oh, Daniel, Daniel, what, baby? What? I just came back from the doctor. I said, what? I just came back from the doctor. I didn't say anything the other day because we wanted to have some more tests. I said, what are you talking about? Because they ran extensive tests and, you know, x-rays and spinal tests, blood analysis, different things. And the doctor told me, oh, what's wrong? I said, what, baby? The doctor told me, in all probability, her little baby boy will not come to full term because so many physical problems he's had. And if he does come to full term, he won't last long. If he does come to full term, he'll never grow up to be have a normal life. He'll never grow up to know his mom or his dad. He'll never function right. And the doctor said to my wife, well, I've never told this to anyone, but I'm considering to say this to you. She said, what? You ought to consider abortion. She said, have you lost your mind? I'll consider another doctor before I abort my baby. But your baby's going to be born crippled, abnormal, deformed, retarded. He will never function right. And my hair was, I'm talking about tears in a voice, but I heard another voice saying, what? Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be. Church, let me tell you, the first report is not always the last report unless it's the report of the Lord. Come on, shout amen. Hallelujah. And she finished talking, and I said, baby, I said, I don't know all the ins and outs and details here, but I've been up praying for the past 4 hours or so. I don't know what, but God spoke to me to say this. Everything is going to be all right. Come on, somebody. Everything is going to be all right. Well, she went back to the doctor the next week. Ooh, hallelujah. And when she went back to the doctor, what did the doctor say? The same thing. The same problems, the same, you know, physical impairments was there. But guess what? It doesn't matter. Why? Because God said it, and that settles it. She called me, and she gave me the report, and she went back again. I said, Lord, I said, I know hell's trying to come against me, trying to come against my wife, especially against my little baby boy, but what do I do? And he said, do these things. And my friend, let me tell you something. God's given you a word, and God has given you a promise. What is that word? What is that promise? He's going to bring restoration in your life. That he's going to heal your marriage. He's going to bring healing to your body. Come on, somebody. He's going to raise you up. He's going to get you out of debt. Amen. Hallelujah. Whatever that word may be, whatever it may be, you can mark it down. Come on, somebody, because our God is faithful and true. But she had that same report again, the bad report. But you know something, church? I made up my mind. I'm not going to be moved by what the doctor said. I'm not going to be moved by tests and x-rays and blood analysis and spinal taps. No, no, no. Because I'm moved by what thus saith the word of God. Come on, shout amen. I said, Lord, what do we do? He says, son, do these four things that I tell you now. What are they? Number one, he said, settle the issue. Come on, say it. Settle the issue. Again, settle the issue. Psalms 119, verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You've got to settle the issue. You've got to say, it doesn't matter what people may say, it doesn't matter what it may look like or sound. What matters is what my God has to say. And I stand firm upon the word of God. I'm standing upon the promise. You got to settle the issue. Be still and know that I'm God. Come on, somebody. He said, be still and know that I'm God. You got to settle the issue. I love Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. At the Red Sea, the Lord spoke to Moses and said, tell the people to fear not, but stand still. You got to settle the issue, come somebody. Everything's going to be okay. But church, I made up my mind on that day. I've settled the issue. Settle the issue. Tell somebody, say, you've got to settle the issue. Come on. You got to. The hell may come against you. I'm talking about the devil is a liar. But he's the father of all lies. But my friend, my God is faithful and true. My God is faithful and true. The Bible tells us in Numbers 23, verse 19, for God is not a man. What? That he should lie. I like that. Quote with me, please. For God is not a man that he should lie. I love that, don't you? But I like Titus chapter 1, verse 2, even better. It says, and God cannot lie. You got to settle the issue. He said, settle the issue. Number two, he said what? He said, stand in faith. Stand in faith. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 and 14 says, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. You got to place your feet down firm and say, I'm not going to be moved. I'm going to keep on standing. I'm going to stand in faith. Let hell come against me whenever it's said. But I made up my mind a long time ago. And a made up mind is a battle already won. I said it doesn't matter what people may say. I'm going to stand on the Word of God. I'm going to stand on the Word of God. And it just so happened that one of the nurses of the doctor, he knew what the report was. Now, we didn't go tell anybody the bad report, but that one nurse is a friend of ours. She told everybody what the doctor said. And people came to me and said, well, what's happening with your boy? We're hurt. Oh, this and this and this. What do you say? I looked at them. I said, I'm only talking in Bible verses today. Come on now. Because you got to stand in faith. Stand in faith. Stand in faith. It may look rough and tough for you, but guess what? You got to keep on standing. Keep on standing. Come on, say it. Keep on standing. Let me quote Exodus 14, verse 13 again, where the Lord spoke to Moses and said, fear not. Stand still. Say that, stand still. Now that phrase stand still in the Hebrew, it means to relax. It means to take it easy. One paraphrase says, don't panic. Say that, please. Don't panic. I mean, you gotta, what? Stand still, you gotta, don't panic. Hell may be coming against you on every side, but what do you do? Don't panic. What do you do when the doctor says, you've only got 3 months to live. What do you do? Don't panic. Your boss says, I've got to lay you off. What do you do? Don't panic. Your mother-in-law decides to move in with you. What do you do? Let's keep on moving. Come on now. Don't panic. Several months ago, I was preaching a message on when the fires of hell are raging, what do you do? Don't panic. When the fires are raging, what do you do? Don't panic. Here was on that Sunday morning waiting for the pastor to pick me up, and I was pacing back and forth in the motel room, and I stopped and looked at the back of that door. It says, in case of fire. The first thing was this. It said, what? Don't panic. Come on now. You got to keep on. You got to what? Settle the issue. You got to stand in faith. I'm going to stand upon God's word. Ooh, come on, somebody. You got to settle the issue. What else? You got to stand in faith. And what else, church? You got to, thirdly, speak the word. We're talking all that garbage and junk and yuck and trash and filth and slime and mess. But what? Speak the word only. Come on, somebody. Speak the word only. The Bible tells us in Job 6, verse 25, how forcible are right words. Job 22, verse 28 says, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established. Proverbs 18, 21 says, the power of life and death is in the tongue. You get around some people, how's it going? Oh, I mean, they give you 47 different problems and hurts and troubles and trials. Well, honey, you may be going through rough and tough times, but my friend, I made up my mind a long time ago. You should to speak the word. Now, I want you to get a hold of this one verse. I love it, Pastor Kim. Numbers chapter 14, verse 28. The Lord said this, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, that which I've heard spoken in my ear, that will I do. Come on now. Let me quote it again, Numbers 14:28. As truly as I live, saith the Lord, that which I've heard spoken in my ear, that will I do. And so what we're doing, I was saying, my baby boy, he's healthy, he's normal. There's no sickness, no disease, no problems, no physical impairment. Everything, like you said, everything is all right. Come on, somebody. You got to speak the word only. Come on, shout amen. Speak the word only. Woo! You're snared by the words of your mouth. You're hung by your tongue. We know that all of God's people, they've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Is that right? But most of God's people need to get redeemed from the curse of the jaw. Come on now. You'll catch that later. Come on now. Speak the word. What are the, number one, settle the issue. Number two, what? Stand in faith. Number three, what is it? Speak the word. And number four, are you ready for this? Shout it out. Shout it out. Say it. Shout it out. Psalms 47 verse 1 says, clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Now, what kind of shout is that? That's a shout of praise. That's a shout of praise to the Almighty. Hallelujah. You got to shout it out. Somebody will say, well, you know, when it comes to pass, then I'll praise him. When it manifests, I'll praise him. When it's fulfilled, then I'll praise him. Honey, that's not faith. But faith is now. I said, faith is now. Faith is now. Why don't you praise him now, church, like you're going to praise him then? Why don't you praise him now like you're going to praise him? Come on, somebody. Raise your hands up. Come on, somebody. Why don't you praise him now? God said, I'm going to turn it around for you. God said, I'm going to bless you coming in and bless you going out. God said, I'm going to work it out. God said, everything's going to be okay. Why don't you begin to praise him now? Woo! I feel a Holy Ghost shout coming on now, Pastor. And so what would I do every day? Every day, I begin to praise my God. I'd settle the issue. I was standing in faith. I was speaking the word. But also, I was shouting. Honey, don't pout, but shout. Don't doubt, but shout. Come on up. And I was saying, Lord, I praise you. Everything's all right. Well, guess what? She went back again to the doctor. But guess what? The doctor gave her the same report. You don't think the hell didn't come against us? You don't think hell didn't try to beat me up over that? You've been deceiving yourself. It's not going to happen. And let me tell you something, church. God has given you a word. God has given you a promise. God has spoken prophetically over you. And hell is saying, it's never going to take place. It's never going to transpire. But church, guess what? The devil is a liar. Yes, he is. Because my friend, heaven as will pass away, but his word will not, cannot pass away. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God abideth forever. She went back again. And this time, what did the doctor say? The same thing. She went back again. The same thing. I mean, she'd gone six times to the doctor every couple of weeks. The same thing, the same thing, the same thing. And I was out of town in ministry. And I came home this one day. And where we lived there in Salem, I was driving down the street this way, coming in my driveway. And my wife was coming down the street this way, coming in our driveway. We pulled in the driveway the same time. And she got out of her car. And this time she didn't have a flat belly. It was pushed out to here. Just kind of walking like this, like T.D. Jakes. Come on now. Get ready, get ready, get ready. I mean, and that belly's preached out there. But she had the biggest, you liked that, didn't you, Pastor Ken? Woo! But she had the biggest smile upon her face. And I said, baby, what are you so happy about? And that smile got even bigger. I said, what are you so happy about? She said, I just came back from the doctor. And they ran some more tests on me. And hell was saying, it's going to be the same word again. And she said, "They ran," but she was smiling this time. And I said, what's going on? He looked at me and said, Mrs. Johnston, I don't know what to say. These past few months, we've done all the tests and everything we've done. But all I can say is this now, the New Testament, all we've done now, that little baby boy in your womb is scheduled to be born perfect, on time, from top to bottom, within without. He said, all I can say to you, Mrs. Johnson, is this. Everything's going to be all right. Come on. And here we were that night, the same night, we're in the family room. I mean, we were watching Johnny Carson. Remember that clean show? Come on out. We were watching Johnny Carson, of all things. As soon as Johnny Carson goes off, my wife says, baby, we got to go to the hospital. I said, boy, she said, I'm in labor. I said, when? I've been in labor for the last 30, 40 minutes. I said, well, why don't we go then? I want to watch the rest of Johnny Carson. Come on now. Okay. So we go to the hospital there. The coach went and wrote at Lucille Hospital, close to our house. And we go in there. What's wrong? She's in labor. Bring on back. So we went on back to the back. She was about there just a short time. She was there and I was there with her. Have you ever been in that delivery room? Anybody? What about some of you guys? Have you been there before? I was in that delivery room. My wife. I mean, it was no more than about, she was ready to pop. Come on. We were going to have a deliverance service. Come on, come out. But, woo. But I looked at my wife. And she had that big smile upon her face. God says, son, didn't I tell you? Months ago, everything's going to be okay. Here we were in that delivery room. I can still hear the sounds of that room right now. Can you hear the sounds of that delivery room? Oh, my God. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, Jesus. Oh, God, help me. Oh, Lord. Oh, God. Give me an epidural. Give me an epidural. Ah! Now, that one hurt. That was me. Come on. And I was, let's get serious. Come on now. And so, but remember what happens. God said it. That settles it. For 9 months, hell had been roaring and raging against me. God's given me a word, Miss Becky. God's given me a word, Pastor Ken. God's given me a word, my friends. I don't know how long hell's been raging against you, a day, a week, a month, a year. I don't know. But I'm here as a servant of Almighty God. I was going to preach a different message today, but yesterday in prayer, God said, no, you tell him that everything's going to be okay. I was holding my wife's hand. That baby was on the way. Come on, somebody. That baby's on the way. Ooh. That baby was on the way. And guess what? Your breakthrough's on the way, too. Come on now. Ooh. That baby was where? In the birth canal. And guess what? Your breakthrough is in the birth canal. Come on now. Ooh. I mean, she was pregnant. Why don't you turn to somebody and say, I'm pregnant. Come on now. Tell them. Clarify that. Say, with a breakthrough, with a breakthrough. Come on, with a breakthrough. And so here she was in that delivery room. And I was saying, go ahead, baby. Now, what was I saying to her? I was speaking words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. I mean, what was I saying? I said, go ahead, baby. Go ahead, baby. I was just saying just one word. What was I saying? Go ahead and what? Push. Come on, say that. Push. P-U-S-H. Somebody said that means what? Pray until something happens. Let me hear some church. Your breakthrough is coming. And God said, don't give up, but look up. Don't give up, but look up. And what? Push. 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 It could mean pray until something happens. Also could mean praise until something happens. I said, push. And she pushed just a few times. Not long, just a few times. That's all it was. And our baby boy came. Woo! I saw that little baby boy. Oh, my God. I began to shout. I didn't give a holy hoot. There were doctors and nurses and workers there. I didn't give a holy hoot. Ooh, my boy. Ooh. I tell you what, I was getting Pentecostal. Come on now. I was getting Pentecostal in that delivery room. Somebody asked me the question, if you weren't Pentecostal, what would you be? I'd be ashamed. Come on. But she gave birth to our baby boy. And She got to hold him first. I did all the work. Come on. And then finally, they kind of wiped it down, cleaned him up, wrapped him up. And they said, "Here, Dad." And they reached over, no mother bed, but back the, you know, the incubators, whatever, all that stuff. But I got to hold him. And when I held my little baby boy in my arms, what's the first thing I did when I held him in my arms? It's the same thing that I did 9 months before when God gave me that word. I began to praise him. I began to praise him. I began to praise him. I got a word for you, church. Why don't you start praising him now? Because guess what? Everything's going to be all right. I said, everything's going to be all right. Come on now. I said, everything is going to be all right. That said, he'll be a mere vegetable who would ever function right in life. But can I say this? I'll never forget the day he was graduated from high school, Salem High. I was there at the Civic Center, and they're calling out the names, and they called out my son's name, Scott Johnston. They began to rattle off some of the awards, the honors he had. On top of graduating, you know, with high honors, also he graduated from high school with 26 college hours and a dual enrollment. Hallelujah. He broke my heart, though. I'm from the Holy Land. I am. Alabama. I wanted my kids to go to Alabama. They broke my heart, though. They both went to Virginia Tech. Come on out. But the doctor said it'd be abnormal in their function, right? But he goes to Virginia Tech. He gets 2 degrees from Virginia Tech in business. He turns around and gets 2 more degrees from here at Liberty. Hallelujah, in business. He's smart. He's brilliant. He takes just after his mama. But what am I saying? I was going to go in a different way today. But as I was praying yesterday, he said, there's many of you right now here in this great sanctuary. And hell's come against you on every side. Hell's bombarded you. He said, but I thought I heard from God. You did hear from God. But you think hell's going to give up on you? You think hell's going to let up on you? No, hell didn't let up on me for 9 months. 9 months he bombarded my mind. For 9 months, from the worst times of spiritual warfare ever. But guess what? I realized one thing. What? God said it. And what? That settles it. What have you been promised? What have you been promised, Pastor Ken? What have you been promised, Miss Becky? What have you been promised, church? Well, I'm here today as a servant of Almighty God to say what? Everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right. That son of yours, that daughter of yours, they're off in rebellion right now. God's going to turn them around. Those grandchildren. I got beautiful grandchildren. You may not realize this. I was voted grandfather of the year. I was. Amen. I was. I voted for myself. Come on. But maybe your children, your grandchildren, maybe they're off in addiction and maybe they're running from God. But what has God promised you? God said, I'm going to bring them back. What's God promised you? Right now, you're reaching a time of retirement. You say, but I don't have the financial worthwhile to live out my retirement. Don't you know that he's still, who is he? He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He's never failed you yet, church. What about you? You say, well, the doctor said, I've got this problem and this problem. Don't you know that he is the balm of Gilead? He's the great physician. He is the Lord, our healer. It's all set loud and clear. Ooh, I can shout it out. It doesn't matter what it may look like, sound like, feel like, smell like. What is it? God said it, and that settles it. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. Now let me talk to you for just a moment. What has God spoken to you about? What has God promised you? What has God showed you? What has God prophesied over your life? I'm saying this, my friend. They told Ezekiel, Read the whole chapter, chapter 12. You're a crazy man, O thou prophet Zeke. God didn't really speak to you. You just think you had dreams from God. Dreams from God. Brother Ken, have you ever had some God-given dreams? Yes, 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 yes. I've had some visions. The Bible says, you young men should see visions, and your old men should dream dreams. I got to pick on you, Pastor. But I'm saying this. They told Ezekiel, you didn't hear from God, but what did God say? For thus saith the Lord, the word that I've spoken to you, it shall be prolonged no more. All delay has ended. I will do it now, saith the Lord. Can somebody shout amen?
Amen.
Would you stand with me, please? Would you stand? I've never spoken along these lines before. But God said to me this yesterday. I said, Lord, he said, no change. I said, I got this message. He said, that's your message. But I want you to give him my message. Look at me, church. How many of you would say, God spoke to me? And I've had some promises come my way. There's some things that I've heard from the Lord and I've not seen it manifest yet. But I'm going to keep on keeping on standing upon God's word. If you need God to cause those things to begin to manifest, shout amen. Amen. Father God, I thank you for every man, every woman, every young person that is here. Father, you spoke to me yesterday so strongly to share this with them today, to let them know, come what may, that everything is going to be all right. Father God, I thank you, Lord. I look back 35 years ago with the birth of my son, God, and as I hold in my arms, I can still hear you saying loud and clear, everything's going to be all right. And right now, I say it right now to over every man, every woman, every young person that's here. Hell may assail, they will prevail. And everything is going to be all right. God's going to turn it all around for you. Let them know that you, oh God, you're still the God of the turnaround. Maybe the days of 2025 are rough and tough, but let them know the days ahead in 2026 are going to be days of more than enough. Father, I ask you right now, you begin to minister to every man, every woman, every young person that's here. Wrap your loving arms around them. Speak to their spirit. Let them know the things they're facing, God, the circumstances they're dealing with, the situations, the heartaches and troubles with themselves, their family members, whatever it may be. Let them know that you're still God and God alone. Let them know that the throne of heaven is still occupied. And let them know right now, put a supernatural peace in the heart. Let them know that everything is going to be all right. Can somebody shout amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, this has not been a healing service, but before turning back to Pastor, let me ask you two questions. Number one, if you're a Christian, if Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, would you raise your hand right now? That's everybody. That's everybody. Okay? God bless you. God bless you. But also, some of you may, maybe you said, but I need the Lord to touch my body. Maybe you need healing your body. Guess what? He's a mighty, mighty healing Jesus. He's a mighty, mighty healing Jesus. Here was on Christmas Eve, some friends of mine, Chris and Jan Bird, pastors. Jan called me. She said, Brother Dan, I said, yes. She said, Brother Steve, one of the elders of the church, he just had kidney transplant. Everything went smoothly. Then all of a sudden, the next day, things turned. His body was receiving so wonderfully, but all of a sudden, things turned, and his blood pressure shot up so high. It was almost like 300 over 200. At death level, stroke level, heart level, it was bad. It was bad. They brought it down a little bit, but still was way high, extremely high. And Jan said, would you call Brother Steve, will you pray for him? I said, yes. So she gave me the number. He was in the hospital. His blood pressure was still high. Like, I think about it's about 240 over about, you know, over about 180. Still high. That's not good. So I called him, and his wife, you know, answered the phone. I said, hey, it's Brother Dan. Hey, Brother Dan. I heard that Steve needs a healing touch from the Master. Would you put the phone up to Steve's ear? Yeah. I said, Steve, I'm praying for you right now because he's a healing Jesus. Do you believe that? He said, yes. I said, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I speak right now. In fact, listen, somebody, you need God to take your blood pressure here today in this sanctuary. I said, Steve, I speak to you right now. I command your blood pressure to be normal. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. I said, Steve, I'm believing God with you. Hung up. Well, about 20 minutes later, Pastor Jan, she called me back. She said, you won't believe what happened. I said, try me. I'm a believer. She said, about 15 minutes after you prayed, the nurse came back in. Because she was checking his vitals once an hour because it was that bad. She checked his vitals one more time. His vitals was 120 over 72. I mean, that's pretty good. Come on, shout it. Woo! And I don't know what you may need, but if you need healing in your body, would you raise a hand right now? Raise it. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of grace. And Father, I am your servant, Lord. And I've been anointed, God, of you to pray. And Father God, I call upon you right now on behalf of my brothers and sisters that are here today. You know what they need, Father? And their kidneys, God. Oh, God, the liver, Father God, the lungs, Father, the eyes, their ears, their skin, their bone, their bladder, God, whatever it may be. Lusha po kontela batala, from the top of the head to the soles to the tip of the toes. Father, I ask you right now that you minister healing power, your healing virtue in the name of Jesus. Father, as you touched Steve, immediately that blood pressure went down. I believe even right now, you bring a healing and a cure to their bodies in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. Woo, got it. God is good. Let me ask you one more time. What happens? God said, and that says it. Pastor Ken, God bless you, brother. Woo, raise your hand up high and just shout it out. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Woo.